man is born. The water so my soul longeth after thee. And you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. And you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. And you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You're my friend. You're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. And I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. And you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. And you alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. And you alone are my real joy giver, and the apple of my eye. Oh, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit and you alone are my heart's desire, and I long. Sing that last verse again. I want you more than gold or silver. And I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. And you alone are my real joy giver, and the apple of my eye. Oh, you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sing that song. He knows my name. Amen. I have a maker. I have a maker. Amen. I have a maker, and he formed my heart, and before even time began, my life was in his hands. And he knows my name, and he knows my every thought, and he that falls, and he hears me when I call. I have a father. I have a father. He calls me his own, and he'll never leave me, no matter where I go. And he knows my name. He knows my every thought. And he sees each tear that falls. And he hears me when I call. Say again, he knows my name. Oh, he knows my name. My every thought, and he sees each tear that falls, and he hears me when I call. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing that song. Let's sing that song, Amazing Grace. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace.
Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
Through many.
Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. We didn't have any written prayer requests or testimonies this morning given to us. Amen. I'm sure we all have unspoken prayer requests. Amen. We'd like to make known. We do ask that you keep our Pastor Cam in prayer. He's preaching this morning. Actually, service starts for them at 11. So keep our pastor in prayer as he's speaking over in Sheffield. Amen. And also our brother Dave went with him. So pray for traveling mercies as well. Also, on a side note, Cam's dog passed away this morning. So just keep the family in prayer. Amen. And what God would do there. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask our brother Bart if he'd come and lead us in a word of prayer. Also, with tithes and the offerings.
Good to see Jesse and Kristen here and the kids. Let's just bow our heads. Lord, we just come before you this morning, God, just thanking, oh God, for another day, oh God, to come before you, Lord, and just praying, oh God, that you just be here with us, oh God, and just continue to dwell with us, oh God. And we just pray, oh God, for our pastor, oh God, as he's in Sheffield ministering this morning, oh God, that you just give him the words to preach, oh God, that you just be there for him, oh God, and Lord, just make your words quick to his mouth, oh God, to speak, oh God. And Lord Jesus, we just pray, oh God, for Tim and our brother Dave, oh God, and Sister Julia, Lord, as they just travel to and fro, oh God, just on the way there and on the way back, oh God, that you just be with them everywhere they go, oh God. And Lord, we just pray, oh God, for our pastor, oh God, and his dog and the situation there, oh God, that you just help us, oh God, to figure out what to do there, oh God, to help him out any way we can. And we just pray, oh God, for our brother Simon, oh Lord, as he brings the word this morning, oh God, just help him, oh God, just direct his words, oh God, and direct him the path that you'd have him to go, oh Lord, and just let it be a blessing to all of our hearts. And we just pray, oh God, for the tithes and the offerings, that you just bless them to the furthering of your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Sing that song, We're Together Again. Amen. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is going to happen, something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together, we're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, we're in one accord. Something good is going to happen, something good is in store. We're together again, just. Amen. If you believe that, why don't you greet your neighbor and say, something good's going to happen. Again, just praising the Lord. We're together again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. One more time. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then let's sing that song. Fill my way with love, amen. Let me walk, blessed Lord. And let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to the land above, and giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love, and fill my way every day with love, as I walk with the heavenly dove, and let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way. Side of my Savior and God, let me never in darkness roam, and keep my path free from wrath and my soul satisfied. Fill my way every day with love, and fill my way every day with love. When I rose this morning, though I didn't have no doubt, I knew that the Lord would bring me out. And so I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, help me please. And I rose up singing and shouting the victory. The word is mine. The word is mine. The word is mine. The word today is mine. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. For the word today is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. Oh, the Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost today is mine. Oh, I told Satan to get thee behind. The Holy Ghost today. Love is mine. Oh, love is mine. Love is mine. Love.
Let's sing that song, There's No Satisfaction Outside Salvation. Amen.
There is no satisfaction outside salvation. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. There is no satisfaction outside salvation. S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. Shout it out, shout it out, loud and clear, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N, shout it out, loud and clear, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. There is no satisfaction outside salvation, S-A-L-V-A-T-I-O-N. There is no satisfaction outside
Does that work pretty good?
Amen. Praise God. Sorry about that. I left the other one upstairs. My memory fails me all the time. So praise God. Praise Lord anyhow. I guess since I'm not much of a singer, I thank the musicians. They can have their seats. This is kind of new to me. I'm a little nervous. So may God have his mercy on me. And I pray that this will be a little blessing for you. You may be seated real quick here. I guess a lot kind of fell on me today. I thought about passing it over to Jess, Brother Jesse there, and Brother Cam had told me that Jesse kind of wanted just to relax today, and I was like, well, I guess I can humble myself. Let my brother do have a little break. So by the grace of God, I decided, well, I do a lot of Bible studies, and maybe it's time to maybe step this way, test the waters. I've done it. This is my second time now, kind of maybe pressing into service or trying it. And first time I didn't feel, but whatever. Either way, this will be a little Sunday school for the saints of God. I don't promise anything deep this morning. In fact, I believe the Lord told me to go a little simple here, and I believe He vindicated it in a way I wouldn't have wanted Him to. But it looks like that's how He did it. So, and just keep our pastor in prayer as he's to preach out of town here, and that God would bless and vindicate everything. And I know wherever he goes, the people feel the Holy Ghost when he sings and when he preaches. And I believe that's God vindicating his word, vindicating his ministers. And that's what, that's very good. So anyhow, just going to do a little Sunday school, a little Bible study. Want to get into the word. God gave me a little thought on something, and I've probably shared it with a lot of you already, but I just want to bring it over the pulpit because this thing has really transformed my mind on the way I think. It's really set me free and in a lot of things, and I just want to share this to those who haven't heard it before. So by the grace of God, what we'll do is, like I do with my Bible studies, we'll just read a scripture, and then we'll say a word of prayer, and we'll get into it. So by the grace of God, if you'd like to stand for the reading of the word, just keep me in prayer here. This is getting behind this desk is a very serious thing. We want to be right in everything we do. We want to, knowing we're close to the rapture, that you don't want to miss it. You don't want to stumble anyone right now at this time. You want to live as close as you can to the Word of God. It's serious times. We can't be scared to go into the presence of God. We have to be right on the Word. And the importance of this latter rain is to quicken what has already been sowed in your souls, in your hearts, and in your minds. So the key to everything is to put and to allow only good seed into your hearts. Absolutely. Because if we can allow only good seed, and we use the Word and the Holy Ghost as our filter to filter out anything false, and let that which was true into our hearts, then when this latter rain comes, it'll quicken all the goodness. Because outside of that, you'll have something deformed, something hybrid, something that will not be able to bring forth life itself. So we want to stick right with the Word of God. And in my Bible studies, I don't use a whole lot of quotes. I barely have time to study for me. I'm not a studier. But we just go by revelation and what God shows. You know, like Brother Cam, I don't know how he does it. A full-time worker, full-time pastor is able to bring 2 sermons a week. I don't know if anyone understands how tough that is for me. I was talking with Brother Dave the other day, and I said, Brother, it takes a whole week to do one Bible study, 20, 30, 40 hours you can put into one Bible study. He can bust out, by his gift, you know, by the grace of God, he busts out 2 services a week. I just don't, in the time he has. But anyhow, let's get into the word here. Let's go turn to 1 Corinthians 2, and may this be everyone's testimony here. 1 Corinthians 2. We love the deep things. We love everything. But what's the most important thing that we can think of? The whole all in all, how do denominational, how do a foolish virgin be saved? How does everyone be saved? Verse 1, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or wisdom," and that's how I claim to this morning, "declaring unto you the testimony of God," correct? It says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Praise God. Let's just say a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, Lord, for the saints of God showing up this morning, Lord, and worshiping you, Lord Jesus, God, Lord, putting forth the requests, Lord, and testimonies, God, and Lord, the things, Lord, giving their tithes and offerings, Lord, giving their time, God, sacrificing sleep, Lord Jesus, God, and Lord, rest, Lord, when here we come to the house of God, Lord, to hear the word, Lord, we just pray, God, Lord, that you can use this little vessel, God, that you can use all the vessels sitting out there, God, to yield themselves, to get beyond their flesh, every one of us, God, and get into the spirit of the word, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, God, we just ask, God, you just bless this service, God, be with our pastor, God, Lord, I know he's travels there, Lord, he's got his brother's sidekick there, Big Dave, God, I pray you just bless that service, Lord, protect them, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, we just love you, God, Lord, be with us this morning, God, Lord, just add your blessings to the word, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. So when I had this thought, I mean, when we all came in, we all were all Christians, a lot of us didn't start into the message of the hour, and we didn't all start into the deep realms of God, but we all came to the knowledge and saving power of Jesus Christ just through the very ABCs of Christ. Always believe Christ, which is what? Death, burial, and resurrection. And today I wasn't sure which way to go. I was up late last night thinking these things, and then I don't know if you would think this would be crazy or whatever, but how God, I believe this is what the Lord wants to speak. Sister Luann's kind of already been through this Bible study. Good to see her and my brother Jesse there and his family. All the saints of God. And Sister Clara, good to see her. And but when I was driving to church here, and I guess Brother Dave and us had passed, I was taking a nap. And Brother Dave called. He said, Brother, he says, can you head over to Brother Cam's house here and check on Bear? He said, Brother, I think he's dead. I was like, what? So we took a detour there, or just cut off branch there and pulled into Cam's driveway, went in, got in the house there, and sure enough, his dog had died. And he's only 5 years old. He was the son of my dog, Nina. But when I seen that, I knew this is what the Lord wanted me to teach this morning, was on his death. I don't know if that that's just how it hit me, and I was like, so I know this is the, why would God choose to do that this morning? I don't know. I love that dog. He was a good pup, but this is just want to, I hope this Bible study, this study will help you and free you, and I know we've all heard these things, but God just gave me a little bit extra something. I'm going to go through the whole thing by the grace of God. We'll see how we get. I do have my clock up here. And we got one right there. So I don't want to go too far, but we want to tell you and show you what God has done 2,000 years ago, and those same principles apply today. Literally, I'm telling you, this applies today. And as we are entering into the finality, the consummation of the rapture, we have to have this in mind, and we have to have all faith towards what has been done. Amen. So anyhow, we'll continue on here. It says, verse 1 says, and I, brethren, came unto you not with excellency of speech and of wisdom, and declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear, much trembling. And my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Thank you for a limited vocabulary. He says, but in demonstration of spirit and of power. Amen. That your faith should stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Absolutely. So here we want to get into, I'll say, like I know for like a little title, I would call it a generation discharged from war. And by the end here, we'll be able to wrap it up together. It's a real simple study, but we want to be very careful here. Or not just careful, but we want to be sincere. And if we can grasp, I'm telling you, all this deep stuff, everything we've heard throughout the message of this, if we can grasp this little thing, I think this might be a little thing that we've heard, but I don't know if we've ever understood it, okay? I mean, we may have whatever, but for me, I'll be honest, I never understood it. been 11 years since God called me to this gospel, even though we've been saved before the foundation of the world. We were there when the sons of God shouted for joy with Job or whatever. Up until just about 2 weeks ago did I really understand how he did and how he was able to do what he did. Absolutely. So now, and I was thinking about how powerful the Word of God is and how pure it must be. Everything must be pure, and how that some people can actually be dead and actually look alive. I'll say it like that, okay? And I'll say it like this. Now, when I was at my chiropractor, I had gone to the chiropractor, and he had a little mini health sermonette afterwards, and he was telling me that back in 1960, compared to 2013, one bowl of salad in 1960 is equal to 20 bowls as far as nutrition, vitamins, everything that we eat this day is 1/20th of what it was back in 1960. So what is that? So what, in other words, Sister Kristen, Kristen is a big, huge health buff. We try our best. By the grace of God, we can, you know. But so what is it? Now, I'm looking out at the crowd. Each one of you looks healthy. Right? Absolutely. Oh, we're strong and we this and that. But there's another fact that goes along with it. He mentioned, or actually that I found online in 1813, 200 years ago, 1813, the Americans consumed 2 pounds of sugar a year. Where do you get your strength and your and that weight you hold and all these things? It's not from good food. It's not from the vitamins and nutrients. That's why we see everything sick and everything's falling apart. Our bodies, I ran about 3 weeks ago. My calf just seized up, and I'm like, what is going on? I'm 35. I'm not even 50 or 40 or 50. What is going on? We're not getting the nutrients naturally that we should be getting. We're getting 1/20th. So how does the devil, through his minions and through his ways, how does he get us? In other words, it works the same with the spiritual also. Right. Now, if the devil can pull these nutrients and these proteins and these vitamins out of natural food, and without you realizing it, he's able to switch it through one source, which is sugar, and now in 200 years from 1813, now we consume 153 pounds of sugar a year on the average. So where does your strength come from? Where does you got a little bit extra weight? You know, you think it's natural? No, that's sugar. That is things that sugar produces all these diseases. Too much sugar. What is it? He switched natural goodness for a sugar coating. Okay. Okay. I'm just throwing this out there. Now let's think spiritual here. When me and Jess were in denomination and the saints and God were in denomination, we'd go to John Rubin concerts. And man, oh, he's a Christian. Man, look at this rapper. He can rap about, he loves God. He's alive in Christ. When he wasn't. What are you doing, John Rubin, huh? All these Christians, they have their choirs, big choirs. They look so healthy. Right? Absolutely. They look, I'll say, the preachers can get up there and use beautiful words and tie these big things that I don't even understand what they half the words mean. Absolutely. They can, it's like this, they have their church skits and their church dramas. They have their church softball games, and the churches are alive and well. No, everything has been sugar coating. It's all a sugar coat. But if you go to any of these Christians and you actually ask them, how do you make the rapture? Well, everybody knows how to get saved. All you got to do is just believe. But somehow they've been sugar-coated and fed all this sugar and made it to believe that all that once you believe, you got it all. It's a lie. It's all the modern-day gospels, all has been sugar-coated, and there's absolutely no life, and that's why you see them living the way they live. Why? Because they have absolutely no spiritual substance, no spiritual sustenance to keep them alive and to walk a clean life. Brother David Loberger was saying he goes to these union meetings and he sits with the Christian table, and every other Christian in that table has a beer.
They've been sugar-coated. They've been taking the natural supplements, the actual vitamins, the gospels, the real gospels, and they've taken that, the churches and Satan has taken those away from the people, and they switch it with the sugar coat. They switch it with sugar, all kinds of sugar. You want a Jolly Rancher, you want a cotton candy, all kinds. If you go to these monitors, they've got a class, they got a program for every single this and this and this and that.
Right.
Absolutely. In other words, you can do anything within a big church and look like you're Holy Ghost filled. Look like a true, absolute Christian. Look like you're in the Word of God. And, oh, he's such a strong Christian. He never misses a church volleyball game. Yeah, man. Oh my goodness. And he sings so loud and he claps and he wears his tight shirts and all. They think they've got the fullness of the Word. They think they are exactly what Christ is looking for, and they're not. Absolutely. The brothers went to the church and the man's saying, oh, the Lord told me to throw a 50, to go get a 50 and give it to the church, whatever. And yet he would not, and yet the Holy Ghost would not remind him that he misquoted the scripture. Absolutely. So what? It's all one big sugar coat. So what do they live by? What did they live and die by? Is Jesus Christ came, he lived, he died, and he resurrected. And that's the whole of the gospel, and it's all because God loves them. Right. Okay, now, they look very much alive. They talk a little bit of talk of God. They talk a little bit of this. They bring into whatever kind of scriptures they can. But now I want to see how they sugarcoat. But if you can bust through all that basic, all these big things, we find ourselves, I'll say this, we've gotten out of all that. God has pulled us from anything that's kind of sugary, but we find still here in the message that things are still have still a little bit of sugary taste to them. Holy Ghost without sensation, we know that is true to a point, but we're going to show you in the Scripture that there is a sensation. There must be an experience.
Amen.
Absolutely. And it must, but let's create it now. Let's go to Genesis 1. I don't think this is too deep, but it's just I wanna put this together, and hopefully by the grace of God we can just eat a little bit here and be refreshed. And if we can catch this, if I can even catch a full understanding of what we have here, I think it could definitely jumpstart the saints of God, by the grace of God. So, Genesis 1 and 26. He says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So here we see God is creating man in his own image. Now, what is the image of God? Spirit first, absolutely, because the Bible says that God is a spirit. Right? Absolutely. Now, it's like this. When Satan, Lucifer, he deceived a third of the angels, and they fell and they went into sin and all these things. How come they cannot be redeemed? How come Satan cannot be redeemed? Because God is a spirit and he cannot die. Right? Absolutely. If God cannot die, he cannot redeem. These angels, their spirit, they cannot be redeemed. God did not create a vehicle for them to. Absolutely. That's right. Now, so here God makes man in his own image, in his spirit, right? So, and he gives him what? He says, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every. Now he's giving full reign to control the world. And God says, I will give him all power to do these things, right? And not by his hands, but what? By the spoken word, right? Absolutely. So whatever he would say, whatever he would think, or whatever he would speak, it would have to come to pass, right? Now, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So here he's to control every animal, every insect, every act of nature, fire, water, wind, all these things. And then it was to subdue it. And we know the one thing, or the one things running rampant were Satan and his angels here on earth.
Absolutely. Now, let's continue on here. He says in verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree which is in the fruit of the tree, which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Absolutely. So God breaks down into now, he's going to be, he's a spirit man, but when he gets down on earth, all the things that grow up from the ground in nature are for to be eaten. Absolutely. The fruits and the nuts and the herbs and all these things are to be eaten. So here God is progressive. We know that God is progressive, right? Absolutely. Go to chapter 2, verse 15. Now, first God said, he says, you must eat of these things, right? Verse 15, it says, and the Lord God put the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not even eat of it, for in the day that thou eat thereof thou shalt surely die. So now here God, being progressive, actually adds to the scripture a little bit more, revealing it more. He says, you may eat of everything. He says, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he says, don't even touch it. That's right, because the day you eat thereof, he says, that day you're going to die. Absolutely, that's right. So, now Genesis 2 here. Let's start here in verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, right? So here's a spirit man now taking down into his flesh and giving a soul to where the gene seed could live in. So now we see a three-part being, flesh, spirit, and soul, right? But within Adam was that gene seed, absolutely, right? Now we know at this time that Adam was sinless, right? All three quarts of his was pure as lilies. That's right, absolutely. As pure as the freshest of oxygen of the air or whatever, as the whitest of all snow, as clean as you could be. Absolutely. That's how Adam was at this point, right? So he started like that. But remember, he started out with one commandment, right? Absolutely. Now the whole point, or I say this, the whole thing around this was revealed in Ephesians 5, right? The whole thing was that Christ in the church, as Adam was with Eve, so is Christ with the church, right? So now look at the importance of a prophet. We have the Old Testament, right? This and that. And the most, I'll say, one of the most revelated prophets there came to be was St. Paul. He dives into Genesis, and he's looking at Adam's life. He's looking at Eve's life, and he's saying, oh my goodness, that's Christ. And what do you think the reaction to those Book of Acts apostles and those Book of Acts saints when he says, look, Adam, he was a type of Christ. And they're like, oh, what a revelation. Oh my goodness. Look, I see Christ in Adam. And they're like, oh, what a, and just fireworks of revelation shooting all through the, oh my goodness, probably another filling of the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. Now, it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and became a living soul, right? And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man in whom he had formed. He put him within a garden, right? Now, I'm just building a little foundation here, just kind of getting things here rolling. Now, Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. Absolutely. Now Christ put that in there for himself also. Absolutely. Now, verse 19, it says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called them, every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave the names of the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. So here's God taking Adam, his son, his pure, undefiled son, and he's creating each creature, every little thing in front of Adam so that Adam could name it. And when it came down to the very creature closest to Adam, Adam sees a serpent, a male serpent rise up, and Adam says, "That's a serpent." He said, "Yes, and absolutely." God said, "That's right." He says, and then when the Mrs. Serpent came up, the wife, Adam didn't say, "My, I'd like to have that for a wife, or that looks close to me." No, he did not say that, because the Bible says there was not found for him a helpmeet. There was nothing. He could not even identify. He knew that when God created that, that was a creature. That was a beast. Absolutely. That was a beast of the field. That was not in the same seed as Adam, whatever. And there was nothing found for Adam. That's absolutely right. So God, he has a hidden plan. He had to show Adam or reveal to Adam what was within him. Absolutely. Verse 21, it says, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and took one of his ribs and clothed the flesh instead thereof, and he made Eve," right, of all these things, just kind of paraphrasing there. He made Eve, he was able to pull Eve, right? And at that time, Adam, we know through the prophet's ministry, he was both male and female attributes as far as in the spirit. And then when Eve was pulled out, he took one little rib here and formed him, that man, a woman. Absolutely. "And therefore shall a man leave his father's mother, and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one." Absolutely. Now, so we kind of went through that, just showing you the whole plan of God on how these things were. Right. Now, let's go to Genesis 3. Of science, the human, they wanted control. They wanted control. They wanted to destroy the people themselves. Amen. It produces death. Right? We have knowledge. What's the most important thing? Is it knowledge or revelation? What brings forth the Holy Ghost? Knowledge or preaching the Holy Ghost? Do we want to know more about the prophet's life, or do you want to know the depths of the Holy Ghost? Do we want to be able to live this life right in front of all men? Absolutely. They can come up to you and say, "Are you a Christian?" I say, "Yes, absolutely." "Do you want to be a Christian?" Absolutely. We want to be able to confound the wise. Absolutely. Just by our living and by our life. Absolutely. Now, so here's the serpent, right? Satan incarnates himself into the serpent, that beast, right? And he goes and he says one word. He's using the same thing God used, what spoken word, right? And what does it catch? It catches the very outer court of Eve through what? Hearing. She turns, and now visual, she sees a serpent. So Satan is now contacting the outer courts of the flesh. Now he's got attention from the flesh, and they start talking. And when you talk, you have to actually, what the prophet always do? He said he contacted their spirit. And he was going into, and he was discussing a couple things with Eve, and he was kind of putting a question into her mind. Right? And we know that question led right into doubt, right? And now, because remember, what was within the seed of the people was faith, and faith alone at this time. They were undefiled, pure. Only faith, whatever God said, whatever her husband said happened. Absolutely. That's right. If Adam got into a whatever, or if he wanted to change this and this, she would say, Adam, would you like to move this over there? He says, yes. He says, I'll move it. And he spoke the word, and that moved there or changed the color. Wouldn't you like a red rose? Absolutely. It's a red rose now. Absolutely. All these things. What Adam had, power, control of nature through spoken word, all faith. When Adam spoke, he didn't even doubt it himself. He was totally pure. There was nothing in his soul but faith. But now, when the questions came into Eve's mind, what? Now doubt had entered into her soul. Right? Now remember, when Cam was preaching a certain sermon, I asked Brother Dave when I was doing the computer back there, I said, did Adam have the Holy Ghost? He couldn't have had the Holy Ghost. Eve could not have had the Holy Ghost. And sure enough, in 1953 or 51 or sometime in there, Brother Bram says, he says, Adam potentially had the Holy Ghost. Showing that what? That very inner, the holiest of holies, the soul was not sealed at that time. It allowed the fall. And somehow Satan knew that. And he was allowed to interject unbelief or disbelief into the heart of man. He went right, just like going through like one of those, magicians or whatever, they got them bubbles that has like three things and they can poke through and put smoke in the inner one. And it works the same way. But it deals with the flesh and the spirit, and they're all connected somehow through God's great mystery on how we even live and how we be and how our being and all these things. But here he's able to inject unbelief into their soul. And when it went into her soul, now the disease had actually started, and it was able to now consume all the work its way out. Absolutely. You want to ruin something? Get to the very root. Look at our government. Get right to the very inwards of the government. And it's rotted all the way out. Absolutely. Now, so here, he first contacted the flesh. The way to the soul was started with the flesh and the spirit, and then right into the soul. Absolutely. And what did it produce? It produced unbelief or sin. And sin is the one disease that plagues the world. Absolutely. All cancer, all sin. I almost wonder, here's just a thought I thought of last night. I almost wonder if sin and oxygen play a part. Because remember, through the scientific findings, we find that before the flood or at that time, there was actually double portion of oxygen, right? Double pressure, correct? And yet it took almost 1,000 years for a man to die. Sin could only move so fast with that oxygen. What are these people looking through in a human genome? Are they looking for sin? Are they looking for... But now God broke the atmosphere, and now we only have a half of the oxygen, one half of the pressure, and now we only live to 100-some. Oxygen what? Cleanses. It cleans. Absolutely. We don't have it pulsating through every fiber. We can only run a couple miles, and we're done. Absolutely. What? The breath of life. Absolutely. Sure. Now sin is injected into mankind, and now we see what? Lying, cheating, all these things that are animal-like. You watch, if you have pets at home, more than one, you watch them. They'll steal and cheat and deceive each other. My dog will go scratch on a door to get the other dogs riled up, and when the other dogs are by the door, he'll run and take their spot on the couch. They're very smart. They'll deceive. They're intellectual. They know how to get what they want and how to trick and deceive. All these things. It's a beast. It's an animal nature. That's right. But what was the most, let's say Adam and Eve fell. Now the Bible says that Eve was deceived in the transgression, right? But Adam was not deceived, and he took forth in sin. What was Adam's sin? Adam became one with something that was already defiled, that was already now a part of the tree of life. And when Eve and Adam had fallen, now they gave up their rights as the gods of this world, and it fell over to Satan, right? And now that's why the Old Testament saints did not go to heaven when they died, but they went to a place called paradise down near hell. Absolutely. And why? Because Satan had every right to them. The Bible says that the hell was created for Satan and his angels, right? Because they were sinned and they had fallen. But when Adam and Eve sinned also, they had an inheritance they were not supposed to partake with, right?
So now all, that's why when the Bible says when Moses had died, that Satan came up and disputed with Michael the archangel over that body, because why? Satan said, that's mine. I have every right. Let's look, let's take away that blood of the bulls and goats, and I'll find sin right there. Look at his flesh. Look at his spirit. He got angry. He did this. He did this. Satan had every right to that man. Absolutely, right? That's right on. Absolutely. So, that's why they could not go up, but they went down, because now his sin had entered their lives. But one of the most, I'll say this, what was the whole curse? Or what was the whole point of obeying? It says, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will die. Sickness, lying, stealing, these things, all those things are just symptoms of death. That's right. A lot of people I know can go without stealing. But you know what? Everyone's going to die. Lord tarries. Right? So the main thing, the most important thing, the whole consummation, or whatever you want to say, I don't have big words. The whole thing with sin is that it produces death. Right? It produces death. And now what? We start aging. One time I was sitting next to Brother Andrew Kressel, and I was looking at his hands, and his hands still had that baby kind of, I mean, I remember that when I was in college, and my hands didn't look like boys' hands. Now, his hands are huge. But he had those smooth hands on the outside, and I was looking at mine, and I was like, man, I'm getting old. What is it? All these wrinkles. Your body is now dying out. And we see death creeping up on us, every one of us outside the youngins. But now we see all these, we see sin actually starting now to take real hold. God gives you a little bit of a freedom there up until you're about 25. And then he lets sin take over, and the effects of sin finally take hold and start waging on the body and start breaking it down. And then we finally end up, oh, now we're too close to death, okay? I know this is kind of going slow, so anyhow. All right, now. Let's go here. Now, let's go to Genesis 3. And we want to be able to prove by the scripture that the intimate act took place between the serpent and Eve. And this is just a little nugget I'm throwing out here. Genesis 3 and 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. He says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, which is what? The serpent had seed. He says, I'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Well, I thought the male only had seed. Right? Well, I thought the woman don't have seed. She has the egg. But here the Bible says that she has seed, right? Okay. Now, turn to Leviticus 12. Just kind of, just a little Bible study, not something super deep. Not just want to be a blessing to the saints of God here. Leviticus 12. But we find in the scripture it is possible for a woman to have seed. Absolutely. Now, verse 12 and verse 1. Leviticus 12, verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days according to the days of separation. For infirmity shall she be unclean. So here a woman can have conceived seed. Absolutely. What? The seed has been placed and it is quickened with the egg, and now it's hers. It's within her. Absolutely. So now it's possible what? The woman can have seed, but it has to come from the man first. Absolutely. Now, let's go to Numbers 5. That's through us all the way through the scripture. Just want to touch it, just so if you give you a little ammo against anyone that comes against you. So the scripture does say a woman can conceive seed, and when it's conceived, then it's counted as hers. Absolutely. Numbers 5, verse 28. And if the woman be not defiled but clean, she shall be free and shall conceive seed. Absolutely. She's able to take it within her and then now produce life. Absolutely. So she can conceive seed. Genesis 4, verse 25. says, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and she called his name Seth. For God, she saith, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Absolutely. So what? A woman can have seed. Absolutely. But it's got to be placed within her. Absolutely. Amen. Praise God. Absolutely. Now that's what? That's an argument against what? Abortion now. Well, it's her body. No, it's not. It's baby also, and there's a part of a man within that also. Absolutely. That's not all her. Amen. That her husband or whoever has had part in that act also. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, if you look at their genetic codes, that baby's, that seed within it, is actually different than hers. Absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. There's no such thing. You should not be able, obviously. Now, we went through all this. Now, let's go back to Genesis 3. I want to make a little points here, a couple points here. Just now, remember, Eve was what? A type of the church. If Paul could say the second Adam was a type of the first Adam, or the first Adam was a type of the second Adam, then the first Eve must be a type of the second Eve, right? Absolutely. Now, verse 16. And unto the woman, now this was her punishment, what? For bringing forth sin, or bringing forth a seed, right? He said, unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, right? In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over her. Now that's natural, right? In other words, she's going to feel something in her flesh when she gives birth. Absolutely. Now, what's in the spiritual? When the second Adam came, he spoke to the disciples. He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost came, what stimulation came upon their bodies? And the Bible says, they stumbled like drunk men. Absolutely. And if you look at every scripture, it says, you were joy with the Holy Ghost. Absolutely. So that shows what? There must be a sensation take place when you receive the Holy Ghost. It's not just there's nothing that, or there's a without sensation within soul, sure, but it affects the what? Just like I said, just when sin entered in and hit the soul, it worked its way out. So with the Holy Ghost, when it hits the soul, it works its way out. Absolutely. Are you telling me sin's more important, more powerful than Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. When Jesus Christ enters into that soul, he busts himself out, and you will have a new birth. Absolutely. There will be an experience. You will know it. Absolutely. That's right. That proves that doctrine wrong. Absolutely. Amen. Look through the scriptures in the book of Acts. All the rest, it says, and they were moved, and they had joy, and they spoke with tongues, and they glorified and magnified God. But remember, this time it doesn't hurt. It's a wonderful feeling. It's all love divine, and you're just full of the Holy Ghost. You can't get away from his love, and when he goes, you almost get depressed. Absolutely. It's just truth. Absolutely. Now, this is the second Eve, what will bring forth, when she brings forth Jesus Christ, there'll be joy. Absolutely. Now, proving now, not only now, now remember this, second Eve, first Eve, right? Verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Second Eve, the only way to bring forth life is to be in a true church. Absolutely. If the mother's not alive, the babies ain't going to be alive. That's why it's so important to be in the restored Word of God, because the life of God, remember, if you look at the church age book, he killed their churches with death. Once you get away from the Holy Ghost, once you organize and denominate, you die right there. You can no more bring forth life. That's a dead woman. But when a woman who's alive got the Holy Ghost, talking about the true church, absolutely, the preacher that's got the Holy Ghost, all these things, they're the only ones able to bring forth life. That's the Word of God. Not just the preacher, but all the body. Absolutely, that's right. It needs help from every one of them. Because what if a young man comes in here and says, oh man, that's a good preacher. But then Brother Freddie, Brother Steve Delaney come up and say, hey, Brother God, they see life right there. And say, hey, brother, you want to come over for lunch or for dinner or whatever? Would you like a Bible study or whatever? They see a true life, absolutely. Not just from the preacher, but from every one of us, absolutely. Living and breathing and doing our best for every member of the body, absolutely. Now, praise God. So, I know it's real simple. Praise God. So, now, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. not really to the point yet of my little study here. 1 Corinthians 15. And this is where that great prophet, the Apostle Paul, was able to bust in and look into Genesis and pull all, I mean, he was able to do to bring all forth all kinds of things. Now, let's look at verse, where am I here? Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept, right? We know he was the first fruits. He was the first what? To receive the Holy Ghost. For since by man came death, for by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Absolutely. Now what? Well, I don't know. Now I'll get into it. Verse 22. For as in Adam all died, correct? Right. From that point on, his seed line died. They only lived a certain time and it was over. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Right? And every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Absolutely. Those that came when all those that were lived here, Christ came first, and then we which remain until when are still alive, we'll have the same experiences. We'll have the exact same, it'll be the same Christ all in all, from Genesis to Revelation, Gentile way. Absolutely. Now, verse 24. Then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, and even the Father, whom he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Absolutely, right? So Christ had to do all these things. He had to fulfill everything in the Word of God. That's right. So, now I kind of want to get, I was kind of thinking. Now when Christ came, right? When Adam sinned, it brought death, right? And we know that Adam had one law. Now remember, if you can catch this thought right here, it'll free you. Greater than... For me, at least, it has for me. When Adam died, it brought forth all death. But remember, he was sinless. He was, what was the one scripture? He says, God said, he was given one command. God said, the day you eat thereof, that day you shall die. Right? Right? Now, the revelation of that scripture, the revelation come forth in Genesis 3. You don't have to go there, verse 22. And the Lord God said, behold, man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Amen. So the whole question came to me, and I'm like, I know Jesus Christ was born virgin. I believe that, but I understand how God did it. He formed his own and put it within an incubator, right? And then he lived a clean, sinless life. Absolutely. That's not hard to... And then he had to die, absolutely. And then somehow he redeemed us. And then he rose from the dead, right? I believe all that, but I never really understood. I never had a real grasp on how he did it. How did he free us? Genesis. The day ye eat thereof, ye shall die, right? But if Adam could go back and bust through and get somebody to help him get through that angel with that sword, and he could take part of the tree of life again, he would live forever. Amen. Right? Amen. So how did it take place? If you have a curse, if someone does a curse like this, right, or whatever, you have to do the opposite to break the curse, right? Real simple, law of action, reaction, right? So if a sinless man, pure body, spirit, soul, pure, brought forth death. Because remember, what was the curse? Death. The curse was death. The symptoms were sickness and all these things that we battle, worry and depression and all these things. Those are just symptoms. But the main thing is you're dead. You'll not rise again. That's it. It's over. Right? So I know Christ did all these things, but how did he do it? He had to live perfect. these are major, major components. He had to come virgin because there had to be, it had to be, because remember, the first Adam was sinless. The second Adam had to be the same. You have to bring, to break something, to do something like that, you have to have the same thing. You have to start with this, and you have to start with this, right? This one had this ending. This one has this ending, right? So they both had to be sinless. So God had to bypass all humanity and put himself a sinless man, right? So here we're sinless. And not only that, but God actually had to get, the Bible says that what? Adam was a living soul. But the Bible says also that the second Adam was a quickening spirit. It was God himself. So he had to secure this thing in such a way that the second Adam could not fall. So he said, I'm going down there myself. Not a father didn't send the son. The father himself went and went in the son. That's right. That's why Jesus Christ in type had to receive the Holy Ghost. He had to have that thing sealed. Doubt was nowhere allowed in near that. And if no doubt could get to Satan, if no doubt could get to Jesus Christ, then it could not work its way out. That's how Jesus Christ could not sin. He never could sin. He was tempted with all this and that, but he didn't know anything about it. That's right. He was perfect. His soul was so sealed. All the fullness of God dwelt within that man. Absolutely. Now, it's good that he was virgin born. It had to start just like the first Adam, right?
Yeah.
And it's really good that he could live a pure, Holy Ghost-filled, sinless life. Yeah. That's really good. Very good. Adam did that for a while, too. Yeah. Right? But the key to the whole thing was the death, right? The resurrection was good, but the resurrection only proved the death. When I first taught this, I majored on that life, the life he lived so clean. And man, the Bible says he fulfilled, Jesus said, I came not to bring peace, but I came to fulfill the full word of God, right? I came to fulfill the law, right? So if Adam, the sinless Adam, the first Adam came and this and he fell to reverse the curse, the second Adam would have to come sinless and live a clean life. And he had to die. Why? Because when Jesus Christ, what was the revelation? The day he eat, if a man could get back to the tree of life and live forever, Jesus Christ should have never died by law. There was nobody owed him death. His sin couldn't condemn him, or his flesh couldn't condemn him. His spirit couldn't condemn him. The soul within him surely didn't condemn him. He was owed nothing but life and life itself.
Hallelujah.
Right? Now, this helped me so, I understand it so clear now. But when his life was robbed from him, Brother Barnes ever say? Somebody's gonna pay. I don't know if you know anybody know Brother Barnes. He got married and said, somebody's gonna pay. Right? And when the Father, remember what did the prophet say? The Holy Ghost, the Father left the Son in the garden, and Jesus Christ, the man, had to walk to Calvary alone. Right? He had to go alone, right? As a pure sacrifice. Absolutely. But notice, once he died to his will, the Holy Ghost could go. Death is the key to everything. If Jesus Christ had not died, the curse would still be here. And Jesus Christ would still be alive. But now, once his life was robbed from him, now everything owed him. That's why he could go down to hell. Because what? At that time he became sin, right? And I'll show you that in a little bit. He became sin, right? And now Satan says, you're mine. And Jesus makes his way down there. But he says, no, he says, how did Jesus become a curse or sin? The Bible says anyone that's hung on a tree is accursed. That's the only way they could curse him. Or make him sin, right? And now that they made him sin, all in the plan of God, he was a curse, and Satan comes down here, right? And they're all Jesus comes down, right? And he says, you owe me. He says, no. Satan says, like, no, you're mine. Jesus says, no, you're mine. I fulfilled the word of God. Show me one time where I fell to you. Show me one time in my flesh. And then at that time it was revealed to Satan, he had not killed the Christ. He had not, but he had redeemed the whole human race. Absolutely. And by that time, he broke. Now, understand the breaking of the curse. Why do you think Jesus, remember, Jesus came down. Before he died, he was doing exactly what Adam should have done. He was subduing the earth, right? He was commanding the nature. He was doing everything, showing us what the first Adam should have done, correct? Now that he's redeemed us fully. Look at the disciples before and after the resurrection, the death and resurrection. We understand that through that death, he set us free. How did Jesus Christ rise? His life was owed to him. The Father rose up that body and said, come on up. When Jesus got up here, he says, all power in heaven and on earth is now mine. He has redeemed everything. Satan, that's why Jesus, when he came down, he says, I got the keys of death and of hell, and I'm alive forevermore. Revelation 1, right? This is how it worked. Now, if you can get this, I know I'm hacking this up pretty bad, but if you can get this revelation to stick in your hearts, you will understand death, sin has absolutely no control over you. You are free. I'm not talking like this. I'm talking all the way. Absolutely. Now, why couldn't, see, the Holy Ghost could not be given in the Old Testament. There was unbelief in the soul. But once the curse was broken, you had a choice to believe or unbelieve. And when you chose to believe, now he had every right to go in that soul and seal you. The second Eve, he made sure that she would never fall again. She would never see, because God isn't worried about this death, this flesh. He's worried about the second death. Absolutely. Which is what? Eternal separation from him and him alone. Absolutely. That's right. So he had to put a sealing thing in here. So Satan could put all kinds of stuff in his flesh and try and lay claims again to your flesh and to your spirit. Bad thoughts and diseases and sickness and tired and all this. You are free from all that. Literally. Why do you think when we pray, someone gets healed? Why do you think when we pray or we speak to this, it's got to obey? He has redeemed us all the way.
Hey, right on, brother.
I've never seen it this clear, but we have been totally redeemed. I know you've heard it a million, but I understand it now. We are free.
Hallelujah.
And in fact, without the death and resurrection of Christ, there'd be no rapture. Obviously. This was the foundation work for the rapture. That Christ would get a hold of people, men and women, and live so pure and so clean to at the time when the latter reigns and all these things, that she'll live so clean and that God has redeemed her all the way till she'll not see death.
Amen.
Absolutely. Now, let's get on here. I hope you see that, because that was very powerful to me. Remember, anything that happens in this flesh, anything that happens in that spirit, you can control it. It's all up to you. What did the prophet say? It's an individual affair between you and God. It's up to you. It's a choice. It's free moral agency. You want to make the rapture? Make it. You have every right to it. Don't let unbelief stick. It must be belief and faith, and that's it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right. Now, I hope that was a blessing, because that really, really opened my eyes onto we can stop anything in its tracks. Absolutely. She'll be an invincible army. Right. Absolutely. Now, amen. Now, let's go to Galatians 3. By the grace of God, we're free, saints. There's nothing. If you just believe. And I understand now why God can say that. If you just believe, all things are possible. If we can just buckle down and be able to recognize doubt when Satan comes and tries to make us doubt or push something, if you can recognize it, you're free. You can say, and here's a little something. A sister Karen, she had a dream. And in her dream, Satan was throwing, I can't remember exactly, darts or something that, or no, he was saying things about her and saying this and that. And she kept saying, no, no, that's not true. No, no, no. And she said, Christ or the angel or somebody showed up and said, why don't you use my name? Don't try and battle Satan by yourself. Don't try and battle Satan with your own trying wisdom and using scripture. Just say, in the name of Jesus Christ. And at that time in her dream, he said he had to go. Don't say no in the name of Jesus Christ. Why mess around with it? Why have a little sword fight? Just take the axe to the root. Get her done. That's right. Absolutely. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteous, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of God. Absolutely. You must be of faith. And that's how, what? Receiving the Holy Ghost. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, and to thee all nations blessed. So then they which be of the faith be blessed in faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do. So in other words, the curse still exists, but you're free from it if you want to. All you have to do is continue and to do the things that are written in the book of God. Absolutely. But it's free. If you want to go free, you can go free.
Amen.
Absolutely. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them, right? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, even from eating of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of it, but when you do, repent fast and make yourselves right. Absolutely. Remember, that thing has no hold on you anymore. Absolutely. Being made a curse for us is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Absolutely. So here Christ, he broke the curse of the law. He broke the curse of all bondage. He has totally, absolutely freed us. Absolutely. Amen. I know I keep saying that, but this is, this something struck me, and I haven't been able to get away from it for a little bit. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25 and 26, the whole thing about communion is what? This do you do in remembrance of my death. See, that was the most important thing. He could have came virgin. He could have lived a perfect life, but he had not died. That's why Cam preached that thing about Smyrna church age and how myrrh was a type of death, and how even in Song of Solomon they were, thank you for the myrrh, because that's the whole key to redemption. That death was so important to take place. It erased every sin all the way to Adam, and he proved it within 3 days, because all those that were born and under the law raised. That's how quick it took effect. Absolutely. And those afterwards have the same right. In the Old Testament, they went to hell, but now in this New Testament, we don't even go down, we go straight up. Absolutely. That's right. Now, let's go to Matthew 27 here. I want to go to a couple things here. Just showing a little thing here in on Christ's crucifixion by the grace of God. Matthew 27, verse 45. Christ now hanging on the cross, he says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness all the land unto the ninth hour, over all the land until the ninth hour, right? Darkness had set in. All right, go to Job 10. Job 10, verse 21. Let's start at verse 20. Are not my days few? Cease then and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go whence I know not return. Before I go whence, I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death. And the land of darkness as darkness itself, and the shadow of death without any order, and there and and where the light is as darkness. What was that darkness of the land? It was the shadow of death coming upon all. There was one person that confounded Satan. That was Jesus Christ. And he gathered every devil to watch this thing come down. Darkness came over. It was the shadow of death himself. Satan had his armies there gathered to take this one man down. But we know that legions upon legions of true angels were waiting for Christ just to move his finger. But they knew he would, and it had to go down that way. So here, even nature's showing the greatest death that ever took place. All, the whole darkness, the land became darkness. Now, let's go back to Matthew 27. The importance of this death. I believe God had mixed feelings about this. Matthew 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, they said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took the sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it in a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus then had, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Death had now, the shadow had taken and been made real. And behold, the veil of the temple rent from the twain, in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, right? Let's go to Psalms 18. Praise God. I thank God he did everything, but when he died for us, that was one of the greatest keys. Absolutely. Psalms 18, verse 1. A man after God's own heart, one that the Holy Ghost could speak through. Verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compass me, there it is, in like a flood, darkness covered, right? And the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. There's Christ on the... Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Glory! And here's the, and cried unto God and heard my voice out of his temple. God crying, the body crying out of God's own temple. Absolutely. And my cry came before him, even in his ear. The Holy Ghost had separated, right? A man dying alone in God's own body. Said, Lord, why did you leave me? Verse 7. And the earth shook and trembled. And the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. They killed my son. What was the parable Jesus said about the husbandman? And he sent his own son. And they killed his son. And said, the husbandman, now he's going to take them all out. He was mad. At the same time, joy that all redemption of his children. But he was mad at the sons of Cain. Absolutely, right there. Then one of smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, the vile coals, he was fired up. Absolutely. Now it goes on, but for time, we'll just start rolling here. So here it is fulfilled what took place. It was an angry God. Death had settled over his son, and the son cried out, and the angry God heard him, and now he just shakes the earth and lets him know the wrath is upon him. Judgment, they brought a curse, another curse has taken place upon the Jews. Absolutely. Now, we'll start wrapping up here. Let's go to Hosea 13. I hope everyone's blessed and comes back next week and gives Cam a good report. by the grace of God. Praise God. Hosea 13. Verse 13. The sorrows of a travailing woman shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he shall not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. But look what the Holy Ghost says. He says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from my eyes. Even death and hell and the grave cannot repent. He says, it's on. I'm going to be your problem now. Absolutely, that's right. All prophesying that what Jesus Christ would be to the enemy.
Hallelujah.
An undefeated champion. Absolutely. Going against, and says, now you plagued my children for so long, but this time you've got to mess with me.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. Jesus Christ. Absolutely. Praise the Lord. Now let's go to Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, verse 6. It says, in this morning shall the Lord of hosts make unto all the people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, and wines of the lees shall well refine. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations, and he will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away the tears from off all faces, and rebuke of the people shall take away from the earth, for the Lord has said it. Now, he says, and he will swallow up death in victory. When does that take place? 1 Corinthians 15. Swallowing up of death in victory. When does that take place? 1 Corinthians 15. Because it looks like it leads right on into the millennium. Absolutely. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the dead shall sound, and the dead which shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Where did Paul get this? He looked in there and he said, oh, this applies to the rapture. He says, oh, death is swallowed up in victory. In other words, we fulfill that scripture. That does not take place. Paul did not get to fulfill that. The prophet did not get to fulfill that. He says, but death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely. So here, the swallowing up of death once and for all takes place. What? When finally a sin-born man, with sin in his flesh, sin in his spirit, but his soul is pure, he is able to escape death. Even his flesh and spirit cannot hold him down, because that which was within him is more powerful than death. That's right. He escapes death. Amen. Now, we're just about done here. Last couple of scriptures. Now, why couldn't Jesus' body see corruption? He said, the Bible says, what? Well, I'll not suffer my holy one to see corruption. There was no sin in it. He never sinned. There was nothing unrighteous in that body. In fact, the same Christ that when we meet him in the air, he'll have those, it's the same body. He has those flaws, those scars on our body. Our bodies will be new, spotless, clean. Brand new bodies, but Christ has the exact same body in which he lived, because his scars, his nail scars, everything is still there. It's a memorial that it was a pure sacrifice. It proved it. Absolutely. Now we're going to finish here with two scriptures here. Psalms 102. Sorry to keep you, I don't even know how long this has been. Psalms 102. If you look through scripture, everyone feared death. No one looked forward to their dying. They see themselves getting sick. I mean, Adam and Eve after the fall. I can see Adam getting his first headache and thinking he's going to die. What is it? Ah! Getting his first stomach ache, says, Eve, I'm going. He's just getting sick. He never seen death. He never seen sickness before. Right? Eve getting sick and Adam back talking to his wife and his wife back talking to him. And they're like, what is that? Never experienced it before. But the whole thing, they did not look forward to death because it's the unknown. They were under a curse and they knew it. They knew they went down to the pit. Samuel wasn't surprised when the witch of Endor pulled up Samuel from the depths of the earth. He knew where he went. They were under a curse. The true sacrifice had not come. Psalms 102. Verse 18. This shall be written for a generation to come. That's us. And the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. People that shall be created? I thought creation was done. If you're Holy Ghost filled, the Bible says you are a new creature. That's right. Created anew. The first Adam, living soul, could only marry a living soul. The second Adam, a quickening spirit, can only marry a quickening spirit. That's why he had to fill you with the Holy Ghost. That makes you marryable. He tried to marry the Israel. He tried to marry the Jews. But their lives could, there was something about them. They were still under the curse. He couldn't marry something that was cursed. They were blessed, but they were under a curse still. Absolutely. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people shall be that shall which shall be created shall praise the Lord. And he hath looked down from the height of the sanctuary from heaven, which the Lord beheld the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion in the praise in Jerusalem. When it comes down to squeeze time, when we know anyone enters into the tribulation will die. And we're this far from death. Brother Bram said, well, he said, you'll pray then. You'll get sincere then. We had better get it now. Absolutely. He says, but there is a generation which shall be loosed from death. Absolutely, all the way. Ecclesiastes 8, last scripture. Hold with me here. Ecclesiastes 8. I'm more of a teacher. I'm just a teacher. Ecclesiastes 8. Amen. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 6. But if you can get that one thought on how free you are,
right.
Understand, there is nothing holding you down anymore. When Christ died, it was it. He broke the curse. And if you choose to eat of the tree of life or let the tree of life live within you, remember, whatsoever you eat becomes part of you. If you have the Holy Ghost within you, you have all control. Every right that Christ had, you have now. Remember that. Anything that comes upon you, speak the word. You are free. Verse 6. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Time and judgment. Appointed for man to live once in time. Then the judgment. When he dies, right? He says it's a great misery to man because they know they're not going to live forever. It's a shame. You see men, 30, 40, whatever, acquire great riches and material goods only to watch them, and whether they understand it or not, they're going to die. What point is it? All these things, Laodicea and the riches and the material, and it means nothing. For he knoweth not what shall be. How is death? What's it like? Where do I go? For who can tell him when it shall be? What's it like and when's it going to happen? This could be my very last day. Verse 8. For there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. In other words, to stay alive. Once the Spirit goes from the body, you're dead. Or close to it. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war. Every man dies. But my title was what? A generation discharged from war. There'll be a generation that has been in this battle, that has fought the devil tooth and nail, hand to hand, fist to combat, word to word. And God will allow them to exit the war. Says, you've fought a good fight, right? Hallelujah. And you will escape death once and for all. Neither hath power in that day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are there that are given to it. Absolutely. Amen. So you're free, saints. You have been discharged by war. Once you receive the Holy Ghost, you're free to go.
Amen.
Absolutely. Don't look forward to a martyr's death. Don't look forward to this or that. You have every right to make this rapture be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, musicians, if you want to come up, praise God. If anyone wants prayer, however you want, Brother Jesse's here, ordained minister of God, to pray by the grace of God. And I don't know if anyone have a song they'd like to sing. I'm not, this is my first time up here, kind of really, the service. I'm not a service guy. Okay, praise God. Amen. Only believe. Praise God. So let's say, we'll start with that by the grace of God. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
I believe in you. Jesus,